97.1 FM Talk Podcast. The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I want to compliment your show on how fair and level-headed everything you guys talk about.
Who is this guy? He's saying what we've been saying forever.
Maybe what we need from a conservative standpoint is...
The Mark Cox Morning Show.
I respect that. We don't agree.
Listen to both sides.
This...
Let's get it on.
...is the Mark Cox Morning Show.
All right. Good morning to you. Welcome back into the Mark Cox Morning Show. We appreciate that. We are trying to track a lot of stuff that's going on right now, including whether or not there's going to be another debate. I don't know. We're going to talk to Mark Lotter coming up. He used to work with Donald Trump. A lot of people are saying, and President Trump is saying, hey, you know what? You only won a rematch if you lost, and I won, and they're the ones asking for the rematch.
I don't think that's really why. I think he knows he didn't. I get that Trump's got a big ego, but I think he did not perform as well as he thought he would.
How do you feel any differently today than you felt the day after the debate?
Not much different.
No?
I still think it was kind of a tie. And I say that because Trump was a lot clearer on policy. He actually had substance of what he was saying, unlike Kamala Harris. But Kamala Harris had some digs and she baited him and he took it and he had missed opportunities. So to me, when I do the math on that, it kind of feels like they tied. And I do not even like having to use that word because I expected Trump to just absolutely demolish her in that debate.
You know, it's interesting because I make it a point on this radio show to not listen to other radio hosts. Like Nash, like I'll pick up sound bites from here and there. I don't daily podcast another talk show because I want the opinions and the thoughts you're hearing from me to be original. I don't want to be parroting what somebody else is saying.
Yeah.
This morning, I said on the air, in the 48 hours since the debate, my opinion of the debate has changed, mainly because I'm more angry now than I was in the moment immediately after the debate at how piss poor the moderators performed in running interference for Harris and fact-checking Trump on things that Trump ended up being right on the things they fact-checked him on. And they did this to him before when he's been in debates with Biden. Chris Wallace ran interference for Biden. I'm angry about that. And while Kamala Harris might have seemed more composed than people expected, she gave no information. And the more I think about this, the more convinced I am that Donald Trump did just fine in this debate. His performance might have seemed angry, but there's a lot at stake in this election. Somebody needs to be passionate about the future of this country. I didn't get that from Kamala Harris. The platitudes about, I just want everybody to get along and I'm working for you. That doesn't get us anywhere. Zero policy. And this morning I found a bite from Hugh Hewitt basically saying the exact same thing. He's angry at how these moderators acted. It's not that I feel vindicated that some other talk show host like Hugh Hewitt is saying the same thing as me, but he's clearly a very intelligent guy.
I am so amazed at the unprofessionalism and the deeply disrespectful of America, as Katie mentioned, performance by ABC. I think by the weekend, Trump may have won this. Mm. It's a moving river of opinion that gathers force. And at this point, yeah, I wanted more. I wanted perfection. But that was the best the vice president's ever going to be, and she's not very good.
So I'm with you.
I don't agree with that. I think she's going to have time to maybe be even more polished, or at least as polished as she was this first debate. I think it's actually in Trump's best interest probably to not debate her again.
We'll see. We'll ask Mark Lotter's opinion on it coming up. We've also got former Senator Jim Talent anxious to get his take since it's been, like I said, 48 hours now since the debate. We've all had a chance to digest it a little bit more and hear what was said and what was ignored, importantly, foreign policy. other than Israel and a little mention of Ukraine was largely ignored. And that's not the way it used to be in these debates. When the Presidential Debate Committee was in charge of it, it was handled differently. So we'll ask them about that coming up. We'll get to Kim on a whim as well just a little bit later. But first, let's get to our top stories, please.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Van driving around the neighborhoods collecting cats.
For what?
Skinning them and eating them.
Yeah, that was a lady on TikTok claiming that she knows there are Haitian migrants driving around Springfield collecting cats and eating them. So everybody laughed at Trump and the memes were spectacular yesterday. But there's a lot of substance to the problems going on in Springfield, Ohio.
Another vulnerable issue for Harris, she also dodged.
Would you have done anything differently from President Biden on this?
So I'm the only person on this stage who has prosecuted transnational criminal organizations for the trafficking of guns, drugs, and human beings.
Okay, that wasn't the question.
No, that's Jake Tapper. That is Jake Tapper who's blasting them for her specifically for not answering the questions.
What we saw tonight in this quote debate was her repeating memorized set pieces from her stump speech and from her convention speech.
Yeah, Ted Cruz pointing that out and how the very first question was, are you better off than you were 4 years ago? She ran from that as quickly as she could. That she had that pre-scripted answer already loaded in the chute.
A terrible sadness came over me and I began to cry. I immediately started to think back to when I was little, walking from my grandma's house on South Fountain through downtown and all the way to Snyder Park.
Yeah, that is a Springfield, Ohio resident. And why in the world am I playing you sound from a Springfield, Ohio resident? Well, that was from a town hall meeting, a city council meeting, August 14th. So coming up on 1 month ago. This is not a new issue in Springfield. And whether or not the city manager wants to admit it, there are police reports of people being arrested for killing animals in Springfield and eating them. Haitian immigrants killing animals in Springfield and eating them. This didn't just come up on a Facebook post. These are people who testified in front of their city council as to how their town has changed. Listen to this poor woman. She's ready to move, and she's lived there her whole life.
By some sort of pest. I'm angry that my friends and family are packing up and moving away. I'm angry that foreigners are using up the resources that were set up for the Americans that reside here. I'm angry that another country's flag was being flown in our city. I'm angry when I see our businesses and recreational areas littered with garbage left by people that do not know or understand our laws and culture and are making no attempt to learn about them. And let me be clear, this is not about race. This is about people being given the privilege of coming here from another country and having no respect for our people, our land, or our life's work. People living their life here the way they did in Haiti, angry, stealing, polluting, living in filth, and acting like animals. These are not civilized people.
Wow.
Well said.
And this is a month old. And the mainstream media has ignored these problems. And then when Trump and Vance bring it up, they make fun of them for it.
Yeah, Kamala was laughing when Trump brought it up.
Yeah.
I have not heard reports dogs, of the dogs, the but I have heard cats and geese.
Well, if nothing else, it's been worth it just to see the memes of speeding cars. And then it cuts to a shot of a cat driving the car trying to get the hell out of Springfield.
Cats wearing MAGA hats.
That's great. You can make that up. All right, coming up. I want to get to Jim Talent, but first, hit it, please, for me. Okay, do we have the music? Do we have the music?
Talk lines are open now at 314-241-9797 or 866-455-9797.
No, we're not giving away pet cats. We're giving away tickets to Trans-Siberian Orchestra December 18th at Enterprise. Only one show this year. You have a chance to win a pair of tickets right now. They're already on sale. Be caller number 11 at 314-241-9797. That's 314-241-9797. Good luck to you, and we'll be back with Jim Talon in just a minute.
You know, when you don't win, it's like a fighter. When a fighter has a bad fight, gets knocked out, or loses the fight, the first thing he says is, "We want a rematch." So we won the debate according to every poll, every single poll. I think that, are we going to do a rematch? I just don't know. But we'll think about it.
Yeah, we'll think about it. You know, I mean, every poll we looked at, we won. He won in the Mark Cox Morning Show poll, for
he
sure.
Did.
He did. But I mean, as unscientific as it was about, I didn't even start it till, you know, I'm so tired. I got home from the debate. We were live in Eureka yesterday. I think at 3:30 in the morning, I started the poll, had it run for 5 hours. We had a couple hundred people vote, and 51% thought Trump had won. And what was it? 40?
Something like that. Because I think when you couple
Harris won, but then the ABC was another 15 or 16, which put it up. I mean, it put it to basically a tie. Whatever the final numbers were, it was like 51 to 48, if you look at it that way. So I don't know if that moves the needle or not. Let's get to Jim Talon. All right, former Senator Talon on the line with us this morning. Jim, what was your reaction to the debate? Who won?
I think that the three people Trump were debating probably had the best of it.
Yeah.
Probably had the best of it. I mean, I said in interviews I did last week, not on your show, but I said I was convinced that the moderators were going to do everything possible, regardless of the norms or protocols, to help her. And of course, you know, they did. And I think under the circumstances, I don't know really anybody who could have, quote unquote, won that debate on the other side, because the combination of the format and the fact that the moderators were obviously biased would have made it very difficult. Now, we'll see next week whether, if she doesn't get a blip in the polls, and I don't know whether she will, if she doesn't get at least a blip in the polls, that's a very bad sign for her.
Yeah,
so we'll see next week.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, my niche takeaway was President Trump led his base reactions, he gave them away a little bit, right? He let her get to him on a couple of those issues. Somebody told her if you challenge his crowd size at events, that's going to get him angry. These were things he should have been expecting, and instead he got distracted by overreacting to some of those things. But on content, Jim, he was the only one talking about what you have to do to deal with some of the tyrants around the world. Instead of, you know, go along to get along, you've got to show strength. And we know, the moderators didn't even really get into that. They never asked any hard follow-up questions to Kamala Harris about what she would do with Iran or Russia or any of it.
Yeah, and a couple of things, Mark. First of all, for your listeners, and of course, I've done a number of high-profile debates. So one of the decisions you have to make, remember, you only have like 90 seconds or 60 seconds or whatever it is, right?
Right.
So one of the decisions you have to make is, am I going to spend my time correcting or exposing my opponent's misstatements, or am I going to hit my main points? So when the moderators go in and do part of that job for you, which they did for her, right? They attack. Now, what Trump said was not misstatements in most cases, but they tried to undermine his credibility. So they were doing her job for her when they did that.
Yes.
Another thing is, and that's why I find it hard to criticize the president, you know, too much for taking the debate or whatever. Another thing is, look, Trump is a pretty good debater. He's okay at that. His strength is the long form interview, which is why he, and in the press conferences he did as president, because Trump likes to follow lines of questioning. In other words, in a debate like that, ideally you're a ruthless pivoter. In other words, you pivot to what you want to talk about. Trump, if you ask Trump a question, if you had him on and you took him down 5 minutes down a question about baseball, Trump would follow up with it. Now, that's also a strength because he's authentic, see?
Yes.
In other words, he's not he's not your classic politician. So, and I think that always comes through, and I think that always helps it. People know with Trump, you know, what you're seeing is what you're going to get, right? But it, in a format like that, particularly, you know, when the judges are biased, it's very difficult. I mean, it's kind of like diving competition in the Olympics when the Russians were judges. It's very unlikely you're going to win, right? Russians
going to win. So I don't know. I mean, maybe people's opinions on this evolve as they think more about how it was handled by the moderators, and they think more about the answers that they actually heard with some content from President Trump. Jim, appreciate your time as always. Thank you.
Good talking to you.
Yes, sir. We'll talk again soon. Former Senator Jim Talent there, and I think I think he's right. It is a hard job for sure. President Trump probably could have been a bit more polished, but he certainly won on content. Coming up, we'll get the thoughts of Mark Lauder. He used to work for Donald Trump. We'll be back in just a minute.
To do with Afghanistan and the Taliban and the 13 people whose were just killed, viciously killed, and I got to know the parents and the family. They didn't fire. They should have fired all those generals, all those top people, because that was one of the most incompetently handled situations anybody has ever seen.
Yeah, that was from the debate the other night. Just going back and dipping into some of the points that Donald Trump made that I thought were really good ones that didn't get countered. I mean, what could Kamala Harris to say to all that? We got Mark Lauder with us this morning. Glad to have him back. Of course, former special assistant to President Trump and America First Policy Institute chief communication director. Mark, welcome in.
Hey, great to talk to you, Mark.
I know you're talking about Hunter Biden and a potential pardon and all that this morning, but I can't help but want to get your thoughts on the debate and the fallout from it, and maybe 48 hours out, what are you still thinking about it?
Well, the thing, my big takeaway from the debate is if you went in supporting Donald Trump, you probably left supporting Donald Trump. If you went in supporting Kamala Harris, you left supporting Kamala Harris. This debate was really about that 3 to 5, 6% in the middle that are undecided. And there was a great story yesterday morning in the New York Times, of all places, that said even though the pundits say Kamala won, undecided voters aren't sure. Right. There was a separate Reuters story where they did a panel of 10 people who were undecided. 6 left supporting Trump, 3 left supporting Kamala, 1 remained undecided. I think she failed to, use an Olympic term, stick the landing, because she can't tell you what she's actually going to do to lower prices, to seal the border, to deal with the world that is spinning out of control. And people know that regardless of whether you like the tweets or not, yeah, things were cheaper under Donald Trump.
Yeah.
The border was more secure. The world was safer. And all she's got are, you know, bumper sticker slogans and little meme sound bites, but not a real plan, and definitely no different than Joe Biden.
Yeah, I thought so, too. And now I wonder, I thought Donald Trump played this pretty well. They were immediately proud of her performance, clearly, and her campaign manager teased, let's have another debate. That was fun. And Donald Trump's like, well, I don't know. You know, usually it's the fighter that loses that wants the rematch. So I feel like I won. I thought he played that very well. Do you think he needs another debate here?
No, I don't think he does. I mean, I think he connected. I was seeing yesterday, I think Fox News has started to post some of their dial groups from various sound bites. And the big takeaway for me when I watch that, and that's, you know, the lines that go up and down while the person is talking. And the Republican and independent lines were almost identical. And the Democrat lines weren't overly enthusiastic, but they were also, the Republican and independent lines were enormously positive when Trump was speaking together. They were enormously unpopular when she was speaking together. And I think it just reinforced that people are looking for a different way forward. And she isn't a different way forward. She can say she is.
Right.
But then you got Bernie Sanders out there on Sunday speaking the truth, going, well, I mean, she is a progressive. She just got to say this stuff to get elected.
Yeah. Hold on just a minute. I don't know what's going on here.
We're just playing you some background music, Mark.
Is
we just wanted to set the mood here for the debate talk.
Our board is acting strange this morning. You just tell me what walk-on music you want. The next time we have you on, Mark, we will set that up. I promise.
As long as it's not a Taylor Swift song. Because clearly she's all in for Kamala Harris. You know what's sad? I really think that some of the younger voters in particular will be swayed by that, because that's my concern with the debate. Yes, absolutely. Trump is the one who actually had policies that he talked about. There was substance to it. But Kamala really spoke directly to the voters, and she played on the emotion. And a lot of these uneducated voters, sadly, that is what they are looking for.
You know, the funny thing, though, is that vibes aren't going to lower people's prices. They're not going to secure the border. Go to the grocery store and try to pay with vibes. I'd be happy to see if they take it. Let me know.
I just wish more voters understood that, because you and I, we all understand that. But sadly, a lot of people, that's what they care about.
And look, no disrespect to Taylor Swift. I mean, she's a phenomenal artist and talent, but didn't she basically make her career on singing about making the wrong choice of guy?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, I made the point this morning that if you shop, dine, eat, have a mortgage, or own a cat, you're not better off now than you were 4 years ago. So I think people will carry that away from the debate, and hopefully that has an impact. I don't know. Mark, I wanted to get your thoughts on the pardon issue. The Biden White House has repeatedly said they're not going to pardon. They don't plan to pardon. They won't commute. They won't do anything like that. A Hunter Biden long-term jail sentence. Do you believe that?
No. These are the same people that told us Hunter's laptop was Russian disinformation, and the people who said that inflation was a temporary problem.
Right.
No, they can't say it before the election, but I'm sure he'll do it afterwards. And if I had to guess, he'll probably commute the sentence, but only the prison time. So he'll keep his son out of prison, but he probably won't do anything with the fine and the back taxes, because that also gives him the ability to go out and beg China and Russia and Ukraine and the Chinese for money.
Yeah.
And so they can cash in on that.
Yeah, I thought that myself. I thought maybe he's just holding out so that if Kamala wins, he could let Kamala do the pardoning. And if Trump wins, he can do it as he's leaving that day on the 21st of January.
Yeah, that's exactly what he'll do. Or he'll throw it out there the Friday of Thanksgiving or Christmas Eve or something along those lines when no one's paying attention. But I have no doubt in my brain that Joe Biden will make sure that his son never sees an additional day of prison time, especially if it's after. Once the election's over, he doesn't care.
Yeah. You know, I think while I've got you here for another minute or so, I think the whole cat issue in Springfield, Ohio is going to backfire on the left. I've seen all the memes and they're funny. But if you listen to the pleas of the people to their elected officials in Springfield, I listened to audio from a news conference there from a board hearing back in August, and they're desperate. They're talking about people, you know, making bird stew in their local parks and killing geese and just acting like they're still in Haiti. I don't know how the average American responds to that except with disgust.
Well, right. And it points out a bigger problem. And look, you know, I mean, there are obviously a number of people who have testified at that city commission meeting. There's other people that have gone out and said that they've seen pets disappearing. Fine, whether it's cats, dogs, but there is a problem.
Yes.
And there is a huge problem in a tiny town of 60,000 people in Springfield, Ohio, right outside of Dayton. Then they've sent 15 to 20,000 illegal Haitian immigrants into that community. I mean, that is devastating for any kind of a town. 20,000, even for a big city, would be tough to handle.
Yeah.
But imagine a city of 60,000. That is a massive influx. They're having problems with Haitians who can't read, have no training, getting driver's licenses, and actually crashing into people and buses and trash cans. I mean, it's causing a real concern. And the media, they're doing what they always do. It's racist. It's xenophobic. It's none of those things. It is a problem that this administration caused, and Kamala Harris doesn't seem to have any kind of answer to.
Very true. Mark Lauder, always appreciate your time, my friend. We'll get that walk-on music for you next time around. Do you have a preference?
Nah, you know, I think we'll play with it a little bit. You know, okay. I'll have to think about it.
All right.
Maybe while I look at Joe Biden wearing a Trump hat.
Good. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All righty.
You bet. America First Policy Institute Chief Comms Director there, Mark Lauder. He used to work for Trump, and I think I appreciate his take on that.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody to blame for what's going on in Springfield except the Harris-Biden administration, period. End of story. Regardless of whether you think people's cats are being eaten or not, it's a complete disaster. And just a little bit of insight onto that, because I grew up not too far from Dayton, Ohio. Just the closest little town to Springfield is a town called Yellow Springs. They've got a college there that back in the 80s was like so far left that men at that university had to sign a document before they went out with a girl promising to ask her permission before they held her hand or gave her a kiss or all of that. I mean, they were way ahead of the curb in Yellow Springs on political correctness. Springfield is an amplified, it's the next biggest town to Yellow Springs, and I'm sure all those council members there are far left progressives as well, and they've gotten exactly what they asked for. They invited these Haitians to town, and now they're dealing with the side effects of it, just like what Biden has done and Harris has done to America with their border policy. That's exactly what it is. All right, a quick break here. Kim, what are we talking about today?
We know the homeless issue is a serious problem in St. Louis. City leaders have done numerous things trying to fix it. It's clearly not working. The state of Florida has an idea that I think could work here. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
You go, Governor DeSantis. We'll be right back.
To do with Afghanistan and the Taliban and the 13 people who were just killed, viciously killed. And I got to know the parents and the family. They didn't fire. They should have fired all those generals, all those top people, because that was one of the most incompetently handled situations anybody has ever seen.
Yeah, that was from the debate the other night. Just going back and dipping into some of the points that Donald Trump made that I thought were really good ones that didn't get countered. I mean, what could Kamala Harris to say to all that? We got Mark Lauder with us this morning. Glad to have him back. Of course, former special assistant to President Trump and America First Policy Institute chief communication director. Mark, welcome in.
Hey, great to talk to you, Mark.
I know you're talking about Hunter Biden and a potential pardon and all that this morning, but I can't help but want to get your thoughts on the debate and the fallout from it, and maybe 48 hours out, what are you still thinking about it?
Well, the thing, my big takeaway from the debate is if you went in supporting Donald Trump, you probably left supporting Donald Trump. If you went in supporting Kamala Harris, you left supporting Kamala Harris. This debate was really about that 3 to 5, 6% in the middle that are undecided. And there was a great story yesterday morning in the New York Times, of all places, that said even though the pundits say Kamala won, undecided voters aren't sure. Right. There was a separate Reuters story where they did a panel of 10 people who were undecided. 6 left supporting Trump, 3 left supporting Kamala, 1 remained undecided. I think she failed to, use an Olympic term, stick the landing, because she can't tell you what she's actually going to do to lower prices, to seal the border, to deal with the world that is spinning out of control. And people know. Regardless of whether you like the tweets or not, yeah, things were cheaper under Donald Trump.
Yeah.
The border was more secure. The world was safer. And all she's got are, you know, bumper sticker slogans and little meme sound bites, but not a real plan, and definitely no different than Joe Biden.
Yeah, I thought so, too. And now I wonder, I thought Donald Trump played this pretty well. They were immediately proud of her performance, clearly, and her campaign manager teased, let's have another debate. That was fun. And Donald Trump's like, well, I don't know. You know, usually it's the fighter that loses that wants the rematch. So I feel like I won. I thought he played that very well. Do you think he needs another debate here?
No, I don't think he does. I mean, I think he connected. I was seeing yesterday, I think Fox News has started to post some of their dial groups from various sound bites. And the big takeaway for me when I watch that, and that's, you know, the lines that go up and down while the person is talking. And the Republican and independent lines were almost identical. And the Democrat lines weren't overly enthusiastic, but they were also, the Republican and independent lines were enormously positive when Trump was speaking together. They were enormously unpopular when she was speaking together. And I think it just reinforced that people are looking for a different way forward. And she isn't a different way forward. She can say she is.
Right.
But then you got Bernie Sanders out there on Sunday speaking the truth, going, well, I mean, she is a progressive. She just got to say this stuff to get elected.
Yeah. Hold on just a minute. I don't know what's going on here.
We're just playing you some background music, Mark.
Is
we
that
just,
right?
We just wanted to, set, we wanted
music,
to
huh?
set the mood here for the debate talk.
Our board is acting strange this morning. You just tell me what walk-on music you want. The next time we have you on, Mark, we will set that up. I promise.
As long as it's not a Taylor Swift song, because
yeah.
clearly she's all in for Kamala Harris. You know what's sad? I really think that some of the younger voters in particular will be swayed by that, because that's my concern with the debate. Yes, absolutely. Trump is the one who actually had policies that he talked about. There was substance to it. But Kamala really spoke directly to the voters, and she played on the emotion. And a lot of these uneducated voters, sadly, that is what they are looking for.
You know, the funny thing, though, is that vibes don't, I mean, vibes aren't going to lower people's prices. They're not going to secure the border. Go to the grocery store and try to pay with vibes. I'd be happy to see if they take it, let me know.
I just wish more voters understood that, because you and I, we all understand that. But sadly, a lot of people, that's what they care about.
And look, no disrespect to Taylor Swift. I mean, she's a phenomenal artist and talent, but didn't she basically make her career on singing about making the wrong choice of guy?
I think you're absolutely right. You know, I made the point this morning that if you shop, dine, eat, have a mortgage, or own a cat, you're not better off now than you were 4 years ago. So I think people will carry that away from the debate, and hopefully that has an impact. I don't know. Mark, I wanted to get your thoughts on the pardon issue. The Biden White House has repeatedly said they're not going to pardon. They don't plan to pardon. They won't commute. They won't do anything like that. A Hunter Biden long-term jail sentence. Do you believe that?
No. These are the same people that told us Hunter's laptop was Russian disinformation, and the people who said that inflation was a temporary problem.
Right.
No, they can't say it before the election, but I'm sure he'll do it afterwards. And if I had to guess, he'll probably commute the sentence, but only the prison time. So he'll keep his son out of prison, but he probably won't do anything with the fine and the back taxes, because that also gives him the ability to go out and beg China and Russia and Ukraine and the Chinese for money.
Yeah.
And so they can cash in on that.
Yeah, I thought that myself. I thought maybe he's just holding out so that if Kamala wins, he could let Kamala do the pardoning. And if Trump wins, he can do it as he's leaving that day on the 21st of January.
Yeah, that's exactly what he'll do. Or he'll throw it out there the Friday of Thanksgiving or Christmas Eve or something along those lines when no one's paying attention. But I have no doubt in my brain that Joe Biden will make sure that his son never sees an additional day of prison time, especially if it's after. Once the election's over, he doesn't care.
Yeah. You know, I think while I've got you here for another minute or so, I think the whole cat issue in Springfield, Ohio is going to backfire on the left. I've seen all the memes and they're funny. But if you listen to the pleas of the people to their elected officials in Springfield, I listened to audio from a news conference there from a board hearing back in August, and they're desperate. They're talking about people, you know, making bird stew in their local parks and killing geese and just acting like they're still in Haiti. I don't know how the average American responds to that except with disgust.
Well, right. And it points out a bigger problem. And look, you know, I mean, there are obviously a number of people who have testified at that city commission meeting. There's other people that have gone out and said that they've heard, they've seen pets disappearing. Fine, whether it's cats, dogs, but there is a problem.
Yes.
And there is a huge problem in a tiny town of 60,000 people in Springfield, Ohio, right outside of Dayton. Then they've sent 15 to 20,000 illegal Haitian immigrants into that community. I mean, that is devastating for any kind of a town. 20,000, even for a big city, would be tough to handle.
Yeah.
But imagine a city of 60,000. That is a massive influx. They're having problems with Haitians who can't read, have no training, getting driver's licenses, and actually crashing into people and buses and trash cans. I mean, it's causing a real concern. And the media, they're doing what they always do. It's racist. It's xenophobic. It's none of those things. It is a problem that this administration caused, and Kamala Harris doesn't seem to have any kind of answer to.
Very true. Mark Lauder, always appreciate your time, my friend. We'll get that walk-on music for you next time around. Do you have a preference?
Nah, you know, I think we'll play with it a little bit. You know, okay. I'll have to think about it.
All right.
Maybe while I look at Joe Biden wearing a Trump hat.
Good. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right.
You bet. America First Policy Institute Chief Comms Director there, Mark Lauder, who used to work for Trump, and I think I appreciate his take on that.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody to blame for what's going on in Springfield except the Harris-Biden administration, period. End of story. Regardless of whether you think people's cats are being eaten or not, it's a complete disaster. And just a little bit of insight onto that, because I grew up not too far from Dayton, Ohio. Just the closest little town to Springfield is a town called Yellow Springs. They've got a college there that back in the 80s was like so far left that men at that university had to sign a document before they went out with a girl promising to ask her permission before they held her hand or gave her a kiss or all of that. I mean, they were way ahead of the curve in Yellow Springs on political correctness. Springfield is an amplified, it's the next biggest town to Yellow Springs, and I'm sure all those council members there are far left progressives as well, and they've gotten exactly what they asked for. They invited these Haitians to town, and now they're dealing with the side effects of it, just like what Biden has done and Harris has done to America with their border policy. That's exactly what it is. All right, a quick break here. Kim, what are we talking about today?
We know the homeless issue is a serious problem in St. Louis. City leaders have done numerous things trying to fix it. It's clearly not working. The state of Florida has an idea that I think could work here. We're going to talk about that when we come back.
You go, Governor DeSantis. We'll be right back.
Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
If you've been to the city of St. Louis downtown anytime, well, really in the last year or so or more, I mean, you know that the homeless issue has gotten worse. You see homeless people sleeping on the sidewalk. They look drugged out. I saw
naked
some got
sometimes.
Mark saw a completely naked guy. Broad daylight, by the way. This was not right in the middle of the night.
Oh, it was
like 9:30,
as I left work at 9:30 one morning right down here at basically 14th Street and Market.
It's a problem. The city has tried putting up barricades, and really what they're doing is just moving them from park to park. They've not fixed the problem at all. Florida is doing something interesting. There's a new Florida law that will take effect October 1st, and it bans sleeping in public places, which of course includes parks. So now all the shelters are freaking out and they're saying, oh, we have to increase capacity and we're not going to be able to do this. And of course, they're talking about, not only are they referring to them as the unhoused, but Mark Cox, we've learned a new term today that I had not heard of.
Yes.
And that is the home insecure.
They are home insecure.
What is that? I'm so tired of this PC stuff, this PC nonsense where maybe unhoused is not even appropriate anymore.
And the thing about it is they come up with these nonsensical terms to try to change your impression of what the truth is.
Right.
And then it gets adopted by the Associated Press. And then your journalists start using these words in their reporting to be politically correct, to try to work it into the lexicon. I mean, because that is an example of the soundbite you found, right? Isn't that what they're talking about?
Yeah, that's absolutely what they're talking about. I just feel like this actually has a chance of fixing some of the issues. Not the homeless issue, but in general, the
nuisance.
Well, yeah, and just like you come to the city of St. Louis for a baseball game, maybe, and that's what you're greeted with. Trash everywhere, people drugged out, sleeping on the sidewalk. I see it every single morning when I come here. Maybe this is the solution. I don't know. But I applaud Florida for taking action. Ron DeSantis does it again. I just really appreciate his leadership, which I believe is why so many people are moving to Florida, because they're actually trying to do something about it. The problem is that people don't want to go to the shelters because then they have to abide by their rules, which means
sure,
no drugs. I believe there's a curfew. I'm sure it's lights out. It's like they're back in middle school or something like that.
All the reasons that made them homeless are the reason they don't want to go to a shelter. They have either mental health or addiction issues. None of those ever get addressed by simply moving around the chess pieces on the board, moving the homeless from City Hall further down the street so Kamala Harris wouldn't see them when she was in town last fall. The barriers are still up. The homeless still got moved, but they're still there.
Yep.
And having them, even forcing them into a shelter, doesn't fix the problem. It's a Band-Aid on the problem. You've got to change the mental health treatment laws in this country so that you can once again get people help whether they agree to it or not.
I 100% agree with that. Okay, but I would also say if you do force people into the shelter, some of them might despise it so much that it encourages those who are able to go get a job and to go try to get back on their own feet. Maybe that's the little push that they need, the little nudge in the right direction. Again, I know the mental illness is a huge component of this, and that absolutely has to be addressed because we're never going to solve the homelessness issue because people want to be homeless. They don't want to have to be paying taxes and doing all these things that we do as adults.
I have to tell you, the prospect of Kamala Harris getting elected makes me feel tax insecure. How about you?
I do feel I feel breakfast sandwich insecure right now.
I do.
Would really like a breakfast sandwich.
That would be
Ethan
fantastic. Our stomachs are growling. We're afraid our taxes are going to be confiscated to a greater extent. We're all a little insecure, aren't we? All right, coming up, we're going to get to Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday, talk a little bit more about the fallout from the big debate. We'll be back here in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com. Kim on a whim.
Kim on a Whim is proudly brought to you by Missouri Brush Control. Enjoy your land the way you've always dreamed of. Learn more at MissouriBrushControl.com.
If you've been to the city of St. Louis downtown anytime, well, really, in the last year or so or more, I mean, you know that the homeless issue has gotten worse. You see homeless people sleeping on the sidewalk. They look drugged out. I saw
naked
some guy.
Sometimes.
Mark saw a completely naked guy. Broad daylight, by the way. This was not right in the middle of the night.
Oh, it was
like
no, it was as I left work at 9:30 one morning right down here at basically 14th Street and Market.
It's a problem. The city has tried putting up barricades, and really what they're doing is just moving them from park to park. They've not fixed the problem at all. Florida is doing something interesting. There's a new Florida law that will take effect October 1st, and it bans sleeping in public places, which of course includes parks. So now all the shelters are freaking out and they're saying, oh, we have to increase capacity and we're not going to be able to do this. And of course, they're talking about, not only are they referring to them as the unhoused, but Mark Cox, we've learned a new term today that I had not heard of.
Yes.
And that is the home insecure.
They are home insecure.
What is that? I'm so tired of this PC stuff, this PC nonsense where maybe unhoused is not even appropriate anymore.
And the thing about it is they come up with these nonsensical terms to try to change your impression of what the truth is.
Right.
And then it gets adopted by the Associated Press. And then your journalists start using these words in their reporting to be politically correct, to try to work it into the lexicon. I mean, because that is an example of the soundbite you found, right? Isn't that what they're talking about?
Yeah, that's absolutely what they're talking about. I just feel like this actually has a chance of fixing some of the issues. Not the homeless issue, but in general, the
nuisance.
Well, yeah, and just like you come to the city of St. Louis for a baseball game, maybe, and that's what you're greeted with. Trash everywhere, people drugged out, sleeping on the sidewalk. I see it every single morning when I come here. Maybe this is the solution. I don't know. But I applaud Florida for taking action. Ron DeSantis does it again. I just really appreciate his leadership, which I believe is why so many people are moving to Florida, because they're actually trying to do something about it. The problem is that people don't want to go to the shelters because then they have to abide by their rules, which means
sure,
no drugs. I believe there's a curfew. I'm sure it's lights out. It's like they're back in middle school or something like that.
All the reasons that made them homeless are the reason they don't want to go to a shelter. They have either mental health or addiction issues. None of those ever get addressed by simply moving around the chess pieces on the board, moving the homeless from City Hall further down the street so Kamala Harris wouldn't see them when she was in town last fall. The barriers are still up. The homeless still got moved, but they're still there.
Yep.
And having them, even forcing them into a shelter, doesn't fix the problem. It's a Band-Aid on the problem. You've got to change the mental health treatment laws in this country so that you can once again get people help, whether they agree to it or not.
I 100% agree with that. Okay, but I would also say if you do force people into the shelter, some of them might despise it so much that it encourages those who are able to go get a job and to go try to get back on their own feet. Maybe that's the little push that they need, the little nudge in the right direction. Again, I know the mental illness is a huge component of this, and that absolutely has to be addressed because we're never going to solve the homelessness issue because people want to be homeless. They don't want to have to be paying taxes and doing all these things that we do as adults.
I have to tell you, the prospect of Kamala Harris getting elected makes me feel tax insecure. How about you?
I do feel I feel breakfast sandwich insecure right now.
I do.
I would really like a breakfast sandwich.
That would be
Ethan
fantastic.
Does too.
Our stomachs are growling. We're afraid our taxes are going to be confiscated to a greater extent. We're all a little insecure, aren't we? All right, coming up, we're going to get to Shannon Bream, host of Fox News Sunday, talk a little bit more about the fallout from the big debate. We'll be back here in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.